Proverbs chapter 16. The book of Proverbs is powerful. It's more than just wise sayings. It's more than just applicable things that are written. But it's instructions. It's also things that God loves, God hates, God gives, God takes away. Things that are important to God that should be important to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Proverbs is compiled with some dynamite. And this morning, when you look at Proverbs, the 16th chapter, and I want to read starting in verse 1. The scripture said, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is of the Lord. You look at that very carefully. We develop plans, but we do need the ultimate grace of God to express and implement them properly and to direct the final outcome. We need God involved in our plans. Number 2, it says, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Would you look at mankind? Man is innocent. He doesn't see nothing wrong sometimes. But I'm sure glad that the Lord weighs the spirit and he sees. And God begins to thump the strings of our heart and said, you're out of tune. You ever heard somebody that sang and they didn't realize they were off key? Or somebody play an instrument and there was a string that Brother KT is a musician. Immediately, Brother KT, you're able to pick up on it, aren't you? But there's some people just have no ear to hear that. To hear that they're off. And that's the same thing with mankind. Man begins to justify their ways. Number 3, commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. You start committing your doings to God. You start living for God and doing purposely for the kingdom of God. You turn your radar on and say, whatever I'm doing it according to God. My conscience is going to be, I'm going to be conscious of God. It's amazing. God starts establishing thoughts. Before the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. You think about it. Number 5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand in hand, though they confederate and join together, the scripture said they're not going to be unpunished. God sees the proud in heart. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. I love verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he even maketh his enemies to be at peace with him. Amazing. Verse 8, better is a little with the righteous than great revenues without right. I'd rather have little and have the righteousness than have great revenues without God in my life. Number 9, a man's heart devises his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. That's a repeat of the first one. I'm glad that God is the director. Amen. You may think you're going to the moon, but God says no. Amen. God has a direction for your life. Amen. I want to go his way. How about you? It's amazing when your plans and God plans, amen, you just surrender your plans to God and let God be God in your life. But first 5 is where I want to just circle your focus this morning. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Go hand in hand. They join hand in hand. They get into confederacy together. They become strong together. The Bible says he shall not be unpunished. Today I want to talk about the greatest tool of the enemy. The devil's greatest tool. And you probably will have figured it out. It's simply pride. The greatest tool of the enemy, what he likes to use, is pride. Lord, I thank you today for your grace and goodness. I thank you today for your grace, Lord, the way you work in our hearts. God, to unravel us from the grave clothes and the chains and the bondage and the binding elements, even things that we think and the things that we, Lord, begin to progress in our minds, Lord, and our brains, God, that sometimes is molded in the wrong mold. God, I thank you for being God enough to free us. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Let's just talk about pride just for a little bit this morning. Pride is disgusting and offensive to God. God cannot stomach arrogance, and he's going to bring the proud down. That's what the scripture is saying. I want you to think about the pride of sinners, even those that don't realize it. Sometimes pride begins to keep somebody affirmed in their own actions, and they keep on rolling by that affirmation, that self-affirmation. But the scripture talks about those that are high of high estate in their heart. They get proud, and their spirit is elevated. Have you been around somebody who is elevated in their own thinking, in their own mind, in their own ways, who felt that they were better than everybody else, and they had a sense of lifting pride? And they become that one that has their nose in the air. Pride begins to cause this one to look down on other people. And we'll talk about that pride too. But I don't want to ever get to the place that pride is used in my life to keep me from the Almighty God and from following the direction that he has. Believe me, it's an abomination to the Lord. The scripture said, though they strengthen eat with each other and bind together, just because the crowd approves of something that is evil doesn't make it right. Mass consensus doesn't make sin right. Amen. And you getting together and say, well, I feel, and even though the word of God plainly begins to say no, even though that we still come together and say, and we got a mass consensus that says, but I feel, and everybody agrees, and we all agree together, you know, it's permissible in our eyes, but it all matters what God thinks, not what the crowd thinks. The mass of our world today has taken values, and they have, by consensus of majority, made it justified to do certain things. It's okay because everybody else is doing it. Friend, you're not everybody else. And when my kids were younger, my daughter used to say, but daddy, everybody else is doing it. And I always like to use the statement, but you don't wear everybody else's shoes. Everybody else's feet stink, child. Amen. And I want you to realize that we cannot walk what everybody else is walking. We got to go according to the word of the Lord. God's way does matter. His word does matter. And this is what the book of Proverbs is trying to get us to think about. How pride can be a deceptive, destructive, devastating element. But man, at the bottom line, man will never escape that righteous judgment where God begins to weigh the spirits. God begins to look at the total weight of the final and the conclusion. And first of all, pride creates division and strife in life, doesn't it? You get somebody who's proud up and that has a sense of rebellious pride and a nature. Romans begins to talk about in 12:16. It says, be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but consent to men lower. In other words, it says, don't begin to think that you're better than everybody else. Not one of us, friend, is better than anybody else in this place. Because we've all been made out of the same old mud and the same old thing. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't even deserve what we got. We got an opportunity to live for God today. Amen. And when you think that you have better yourself, better than everybody else, take heed, you're fixing to fall. And pride sometimes get even in a church. And it gets sowed in and there are people that feels like, look at the world. But a proud people, even though they may look like they got it together, they may have all their noses in the air, they need to remember where they came from. And they're no better off than the worst of the worst when pride begins to seep inside of a soul. That's the reason we must realize that every soul that walks in our presence is a candidate for a heaven or a hell. And we got an opportunity to point them to the right way and let them know, and such were some of us. But we've been washed by the goodness of the Lord and the mercies of God. We don't even deserve what we got. How many are thankful today for the grace and the goodness of God that interrupted your hell-bound life and God's gave you peace? So when people come, it's easy to write somebody off. It's easy to look at that person and from the outside to be so critical. And begin to say, oh, well, they're just losers. And such were some of us. Amen. And we still can become losers when we forget God's goodness in our life and where it all come from. Amen. But it's just the nature of man. You watch somebody. I can remember somebody making a statement one time that there was a young lady that she come from a family. They were poor. When you say dirt poor, they were dirt poor. And the story was, I mean, they came, and this girl, she married a guy that had a great job, and things started materializing for them. And pretty soon, I mean, they had things. That young man was able to buy the best of the best, and they lived in a nice house. And pretty soon, this little young chicken, I mean, she thought she was really the hen. And I mean, she held her beak up high. And I mean, she felt like she was it. And she felt like, oh, look who I am and look who you're not. And it's very easy whenever you get set up, amen, to get high on your nest and for you to do a lot of cackling and forget about where you came from. It was by the goodness of God that brought them where they were at. Amen. And many times people get to that place that feel like I have arrived. And friend, amen, it's all by the lifting and the grace of other things that put you where you're at. Don't ever forget what God's done for you. Don't ever forget the mercies of God, the blessings of God. And we can't forget to reach out and look at somebody else and say, if God did it for me, God could do it for them. I need somebody to say amen this morning. Amen. Knowing that God can do a miracle for somebody in their life. Amen. Just because I had a good home, just because I had a good family, does not entitle me, amen, not to pray, not to have an open heart, not to have a consideration, not to reach out. Amen. Hey, friend, I'm grateful today that God has blessed me, but I don't want to ever get to that place that I feel entitled, amen, that I think I'm somebody and somebody's not. You know, that's the problem. Amen. The problem I see many times, generational Pentecostalism. How many of you are not first generation Pentecostals? Let me see your hand. You had a relative. Generational Pentecostals get to the place that they feel like they have a lineage. You do have a lineage. But that lineage does not save you. It's by your individual walk with God. In other words, my grandmother's relationship with God does not save me. My mama's relationship with God will not get me there. Thank God for it. But friend, I got to get to heaven myself. Going to church don't make you a Christian, and going to church won't get you to heaven alone. You got to take God with you. You got to have a daily walk with God. Hear me. Amen. God wants you to have a relationship with him. Praise God. I pray all the time, Lord, I'm fifth generation apostolic, Jesus' name. But I don't want to ever get to the place. I want a first generation experience with God. Amen. I love people that are first generation. I love Christian Chalks that God has given a relationship to. She did not have that opportunity to be raised in a home with a mom and daddy, amen, that lived for God in a way, amen, that you and I live for God. Amen. She didn't have that privilege, amen, to be brought to a Holy Ghost filled church where things were. But friend, just as soon as she got in it and partook of the treasure, she has treasured these things. She has loved the things of God. She has grown in the grace and knowledge of God. But she has not forgot where she came from. God give us a first generation experience. Praise God. So pride will start creeping in a life a lot of things. And what's the shameful thing is, when you're around after a period of time, that feeling that I know the ropes is a dangerous feeling. To where a person starts picking and choosing. They could look what we call Pentecostal. And they could put on the looks of being apostolic. But friend, amen, it's not the looks that's going to get you there.
Yeah, come on.
Amen. Right. Come on. You better have the looks, but you better have something more than the looks. You better have the work of the Holy Ghost in your life. Amen. A house, you may have a power line going to your house, but if your meter's not hooked up, amen, you're not going to have power. And if you're not hooked up to the God of heaven, you're just an empty shell with a facade on the outside. But I'm glad today that there's a power that you can connect to. God can take anybody and make them a new creature. And we are new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are new. So, pride prevents unity. Many times it fuels conflicts in a church. Not only in a church, but in homes. Pride. Pride separates us from others. And it leads us to deception. Hear me? It'll lead to deception. But you know the consequences of pride. The scripture said, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. The bigger the ego, the bigger the fall. It's better to be humble, the Bible says, with the lowly than exalted with the proud. What do you think about King David? King David in 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter, the Lord told them, he made it clear, I don't want you to number the children of Israel. I don't want you to count how many people you got. I want you to trust me. That I, when we get to the place that we're so advanced and so taken in with numbers, and we start thinking, whoa, look what we got, look who we are. Man, we're doing good. Success can be something that is detrimental to a person. So David started numbering his men. He wanted to see how many people he had, which God forbid. And God looked at David and he said, through the prophet Samuel, why would you want to do that? Because I'm not going to operate by a system of numbers. I'm going to operate, amen, by those by faith that would just trust me. That way you can't say, well, I got 175 men right here, and I can send these 175 against you right now. No, no, it's not how many you have. It's who you have on your side. And David was more to say, oh, look, I can number and see how many I got in my army versus who's behind my army. If you had a choice today, I'd rather have God behind my life than the numbers and the account and all the different things there. Amen. Pride. Pretty wild to watch that in the book of, in the Old Testament time, there was a man named Nebuchadnezzar. He was king. He was very proud. He liked his authority. You ever seen somebody who had authority? And they love their authority. You give some people positions and it begins to make them of the opinion and they become so proud of the big stick that they carry. You give them a position, and all of a sudden they take that position and they begin to use it against other people. And that big stick they hold up, and they'll hit you with it. and they manipulate with pride and with power. Nebuchadnezzar was such a man. He was king, and he liked being king. He liked that authority. But I want you to realize the Bible says the Lord sets up and the Lord takes down. If you're put in a position anywhere in life, whether it's on your job or in the church, wherever your position at, remember, amen, when God sets up, God puts you there to do a good job. You begin to think, man, look how great I am, look how good, and you use it wrongly, believe me, you're going to have a hard fall. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar, he boasted. His pride made him a boaster. He started bragging about his pride. But it wasn't long. The Bible says the Lord made him like a beast in the field. And for years, this man ate the grass with the cattle in the fields. His nails grew long. His hair, his whole body was covered with hair like feathers, the scripture said. And the dew of the heavens would fall on him. Can you imagine the king reduced down to a man that was a beast? How humiliating. The journey went from Nebuchadnezzar to a place where he's on all fours eating grass. I'm telling you, God knows how to humble even the king, even the person that thinks they're somebody. Friend, I'm just a nobody today, but I want to tell everybody about a somebody who could save anybody. Are you thankful that God still reaches to the utmost, and God still reaches to the person that you think cannot even be touched? I can remember several years at youth camp. There was a little boy during youth camp services that was disruptive. I mean, and come to find out, this kid was allergic to dyes, Kool-Aids, etc. And he had just come from a class, and they had fed him all kind of stuff. And he was just hyper. He was just, I mean, you could not hold this kid down. He was like a spring. They would try to set him down, boom. And I thought, there's got to be a way. I recognized very quickly that this kid was, I mean, he was just very hyper. And really, you try to restrict somebody like that with physical force, it doesn't work. Some of you teachers know that. So I thought, I got to do something. So I chose him. I said, I need you to be my helper. I need you to come up here. And he stood by me on the platform that day. And we started having little worship songs and stuff like that. And Brother Squires was the minister that day, the king's clown. And this young boy was right here by me. I told Brother Squires, I said, whatever it takes, let's use this young boy. I said, he needs some direction. He needs some help. And so, do you know, I mean, I just started using that little boy, and Brother Squires picked him up and started talking to him and using him. And you know, the first kid to receive the Holy Ghost that day was that little boy. And it was years later that we were somewhere in another place at a restaurant. All of a sudden, somebody tapped me on the shoulder. And this young boy standing there, teenager, probably 17, and he's looking at me, and he said, Brother Crosswhite, you don't know who I am. And behind him is a lady, his mother. And he said, Mama, this is the man. What do you mean? He said, Brother Crosswhite, it was at that youth camp. You picked me out, and you brought me to the platform, and you started using me. You said that you wanted me to be your helper the whole camp. And he said, I'll never forget. He said, God fill me with the Holy Ghost. And his mama said, and Brother Crosswhite, last week he preached his first message. I want to tell somebody, you just never know. Amen. You just never know. Don't get to the place that you get all crusted up in your heart, that you write somebody off. Amen. Hear me again. I don't know why I'm hanging on this today, but I'm here to tell this church. I'm not preaching to somebody who's not here, but I'm talking to somebody who's here today. We need to get to the place that we recognize, amen, the goodness and the work and the power of God in our life. It comes by God. The real authority is not what man assumes. Search with the power of God that comes from on high. We got to have Jesus in this hour. But Nebuchadnezzar was brought down low. You know, pride is one of the oldest tricks. Pride started in heaven. Think about it. It turned Lucifer into Satan. It made the devil the devil. It started a war. In the Garden of Eden, the serpent deceived Eve through pride. It wasn't a taste of the fruit that got Eve. It was the pride that say, you're going to be like God. That's the same spirit that Satan and Lucifer had in it. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to build his throne to be like God. You don't become like God, but begin to become an independent of God. You become like God when you let God be God in your life. Many times we try to be great independently of God. You will not make it in life apart from God. You need God to be the center driving force of your life. The greatest tool of Satan, pride. It is blind people from seeing their own sin. It has deceived people into doing things that are horrible. You know, pride is a spiritual cancer. Pride eats up love, true love. Pride eats up contentment. And the next thing, guess what pride eats up? Common sense. Isn't that crazy? But it's the truth. It's a cancer. It makes a person self-centered instead of God-centered. It deceives both the sinner and the saint, whispering to, I'm okay. I'm fine. I don't need a change. Pride would cause a person to become rebellious and to the place that they feel like, I don't need you. I don't need a church. I don't need a pastor. I don't need God. When we need the church, we need the pastor, and we need God more than everything in this hour. Amen. I don't know about you. I need my Jesus. I need the church. I need the things of God in my life. Don't ever get to the place that you feel exempt and you think, oh, well, I don't need a pastor. I don't need my pastor. I don't need that man. Oh, that's just Brother Crosswell. Don't you ever get to that place that you look at this man and say, oh, that's just Brother Crosswell. Hey, I may die tonight, and whoever God puts in my place, don't ever exempt and write them off. Amen. God put somebody here with a vision and a burden of your life. You need a shepherd of your soul. You need somebody to preach to you, to love you, to reach, and somebody to break your leg at times. Break your leg. A shepherd better be a shepherd enough to break a leg. You know what? Let me just tell you what that means. Little lamb keeps straying from the fold. The shepherd uses his shepherd's rod to say to that little lamb, there's a cliff right here. And you little lamb, you just skip it along. You don't realize that there's an edge. And there's a 100-foot drop off. And that shepherd shoes that little lamb back. He says, no, no, no. Next long, that little lamb just forgets all about things. Jumps out of the fold. Gets out of sync. Independently starts just lollygagging. Back again towards the edge. Well, doesn't that sound like humanity? And that shepherd takes that crooked stick and yanks it off his feet. No. Is that man being mean? Is that shepherd? No, no, no. That shepherd knows the consequences. Back again, he puts it back in the fold. Good little lamb, stay right there. Before you know it, shepherd is tending to other things. There's a little lamb, back again. That little lamb, you know, he catches it again. Little lamb, I'm so sorry, Pastor. You know, I'm going to make things, I'm going to do better next time. Puts it back in the fold. The pastor says, come on, you got to wise up. Don't you know there's some detriments? Don't you know there's some problems? They can't see it. Many times, common sense is eradicated. Pride causes you not to see nothing but yourself. Here comes a little lamb again, slips out. Good shepherd, between a bad shepherd and a good shepherd, bad shepherd said, just go do your own thing. But a good shepherd would say, no, 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 no. I've told you before and I try to help you. This time that shepherd takes that little lamb and takes that little bitty lamb's leg over his knee and breaks it strategically. That little lamb, instead of going back to the fold, gets a ride on the shepherd's shoulders. That little broke leg, it's dangling. He sets it right. Every time that little lamb has to drink, that shepherd holds it up and lets it drink. That mean pastor. That mean shepherd. Hang on, there's a motive. There's a reason. Every time that little lamb eats, he holds it up. That little lamb's limping. Pretty soon that little leg starts healing gradually and still riding on that shepherd's shoulder. Here they are riding. And that everywhere that shepherd goes, that little lamb goes on the shoulders. He feels every bump at first and it hurts. It reminds him, I'm on the shoulders because of a broke leg. Because I was foolish. Pretty soon, after riding there for a month, and that leg joints back together, finally the shepherd lets it down, and that little lamb, he's limping, but he's close to the shepherd. He don't want to get too far because he knows that his strength is small. And that shepherd sees that lamb struggling, picks it up, puts it back on his shoulder, to finally when that leg heals, they tell me that that little lamb becomes the closest lamb in the fold to the shepherd. Because it got addicted to the touch, the smell, and the feel of the shepherd. I want to tell somebody, I thank God for my great shepherd. How many times God has, amen, helped me. How many's ever had the Lord break your leg before? Are you thankful that God broke your leg? But there's some people, thank God, how dare you? How dare can God do that to me? How can God? Hey, I want to tell you, God knows how to get you to the right place and strategically. Amen. To put you in a place that you know that he's a great God. He's not an angry God that has an agenda, but he's a loving God that cares about your soul, that cares about eternity. He don't want you just to go over the edge. He don't want you to fall over and over and over the pit of shame. Thank God for his goodness. Next thing I want to talk to you about. Pride holds people back from God. It delays repentance to the place where a person begins to think, I'll take care of it later. Pride. Pastor teaches against this, but right now I'm enjoying what I do. Pride fears embarrassment. What other things? What other people are going to think if I make a move? It keeps people from fully surrendering to God. It tranquilizes and brings in a partner of pride called fear to where a person is afraid to make a move to God. Pride will really do. Pride is not always loud, boastful, or outward rebellious. Pride can also be subtle, quiet, persistently resistant towards God's will. Think about pride. This kind of pride is often the most dangerous because it operates under the surface, undermining faith and obedience and humility. What I would call the two faces of pride is very evident. The first one is that loud, obvious pride. That one, that arrogance, the Nebuchadnezzar type. The one that is very bold and boasts out loud. But you got to be careful about the quiet, subtle pride. That passive resistance of Jonah. That Jonah said, the Lord said, Nineveh, but I'm not going there. I'm going this way. Don't be a Jonah. Don't be that one that begins to think, I'll undermine and pretend to be obedient. You know, King Saul partially obeyed God, but partial obedience did not credit him anything with God. He lost his kingdom because he disobeyed God. Pride that hides in false humility sometimes, where a person says, I'm just not good enough. I'm not called to do that. False humility never really helps you. It's just pride wrapped up in doubt, self-doubt. Moses, the Lord kept on calling and he kept on resisting. But God saw through it. I'm telling you, there's people in this church that God wants to use. But your pride has put the brakes on. God wants somebody to surrender to him and say, God, it's time for me to sell out. There's instruments that are sitting here in the house of God. People, I'm not talking about musical instruments. But if you want to relate it to a musical instrument, it's kind of like a guitar that somebody bought. That was, I mean, what's one of the most expensive guitars? Martin's? It's like if it's a Bach guitar, it's Martin. It's electric guitar, Gibson. You think about it. A guitar that somebody paid, one man paid $26,000 for a guitar. And he said, I want the best so I can learn to play. And after a month of lessons, he locked it up in a case, stuck it underneath the bed. And for years, that guitar stayed there. His kids grew up knowing that daddy's guitar is underneath that bed. Every now and then, daddy would get the guitar out and strum just a little bit. What he learned years ago, but never advanced. To one day, one of his grandkids was a teenager, and that kid had musical abilities. And he said, Grandpa, my daddy said you had a guitar. He said, I've been playing the guitar now. And he said, I've done pretty good. Grandpa reached underneath the bed, pulled that guitar out, and he said, hey, that thing had sat there for years. He said, son, I'm going to give it to you. He gave that guitar. That young man brought it to his instructor. And he walked inside the place where he was taking lessons. And when he opened the lid, an instructor stepped back and he said, where did you get that? He said, my grandpa had it underneath his bed for years, and told him the story. That instructor said, do you know how much that guitar's worth? He said, I'm afraid to touch it. He said, that's a $76,000 guitar right there. The value had increased through the years because it was unique. I want to tell you, amen, there's many unique instruments that God has that has been sitting dormant because they're locked up in self-doubt that God wants to use. Pride will hinder somebody from being what God wants them to be. I'm telling somebody today, God has a church and he wants to use his church. God has people. But friend, pride sometimes causes a resistance and a place of self-doubt in your life. Amen. Are you thankful today that God has a purpose for your soul? I'm talking to somebody today that God wants you to get out of the box, so to speak. God wants you to come out from underneath the hiding place and say, God, here am I. I want to be used for you. Amen. You can't be content with just coming to church and thinking you're going to get to heaven when God has called you and God has chosen you. But you're hiding and you're holding back on the things of God, not willing to be used for God. Hear me, pride will envelop you and pride will hold you back from being used to the Almighty God. I'm preaching to somebody today, amen, the tool of the enemy, the greatest tool sometimes is pride. It may not be a boisterous thing. It may not be a bold thing. Sometimes it's a quiet stubbornness. Hallelujah. Proverbs, the sixth chapter, says, pride is the first of the seven abominations, things that God hates. It's the root of many other sins, including lying and discord. A true Christian knows that they're in Christ, but you also know what you are not. We know who we are, but we know who we are not without Jesus. Don't ever forget who you are not in Jesus Christ and who you are in Jesus. Amen. Sometimes we think we're everything. But friend, I want to realize there's a place I got to stay in. I got to stay in my place. I got to stay in my place that God has called me and chose me. But friend, at the same time, I cannot be content where I'm at. I got to grow in Jesus Christ. I got to be who has called me to be. James 4:6, God said, I resist the proud, but give it grace unto the humble. I want to ask the question today, will you let pride hold you back? Are you going to give God the opportunity to work? The difference between God's blessing and God's resistance is the posture of your heart. God chooses humility. God chooses grace to today. God didn't make you robots. And God don't have a big old remote in heaven that says, okay, I'm going to master you by manipulating you. No, CJ, God don't do that. God don't have a big remote trying to master your life like that. You know how God masters a life? When you become the manager of your life by saying, God, it's not my will, but your will be done. And you give your life every day to God to finish this race of life completely. It's a day by day surrendering of your will to the Almighty God. We end this race to finish the race. And every day you got to surrender, CJ. You got to give the strings and the reins of your heart to the Almighty. And it's there when you conquer that pride. You conquer that power to be the king of your life. And you lay the reins in the hands of God and say, God, I want you to be my king. My God steps through with grace and power and makes you mighty. I want to be a man after God's heart. I want to be a soldier after his heart. I want to be an ambassador of the King of Kings, and I want to let God have his way. Remember, Adam and Eve was God's masterpiece. In the garden, they walked with God. There's peace. There were troubles. But pride causes Lucifer to turn into the devil. And there in the garden, the same old trick, the same old tool Satan took out of his toolbox. And he inserted it. And they failed. Not the taste of the fruit. That wasn't what they were after. But it was the pride. That they could be something without God. I want to tell you. Without him, we're nothing. Without God, we fail. But with God, we become strong and mighty. I keep feeling this in the Holy Ghost. Even there's somebody hearing me today. In the simple little message today, but profound. God has a place for you that only, amen, he has. A place for your life that you wrote off and others have wrote off. But the King says, amen, I have interest in your life to make you something for me, to make you an instrument. Amen. And in closing, let me talk to you about somebody. Amen. They went to a garage sale one day. It's another one of those guitar stories. To where this lady's husband had passed away and he had a lot of objects there. And she was downsizing to move in a smaller house in the city. This house was in the suburbs of a big city and her husband had all kind of things there. She really didn't understand the value of certain things. And she sold his golf clubs and somebody come up and seen the golf clubs and they immediately recognized. That's not just any. That's not Walmart stuff. They walked away with, I mean, ten thousands of dollars worth of equipment. Next gentleman walks in, and there's a big toolbox. It had wheels on the bottom of it. And she put a sign on it, $25. And the man thought, man, I'm getting me a big roll toolbox. And when he got the handle, he realized it was full of tools. He said, ma'am, do you have the key? She said, I don't have a key. She said, but whatever's in it, you can have. She said, I looked for the key all over this place. I cannot find the keys. And the man said, oh. He got it to his house and he recognized that on the side of the toolbox, it said Snap-on. And his brother-in-law was a Snap-on dealer. He called his brother-in-law and he said, is there a general key for these Snap-on toolboxes? He said, there is. His brother-in-law brought him the key. They popped open the toolbox. Those of you that are mechanics, when they opened it up, it was full, Brother Aaron, of Snap-on tools. $25. Brother KT, I'm telling you, talking about excited. That wasn't it. Same garage sale. In that garage, there was another old guitar case there. They picked it up. Inside of it was an expensive guitar. Thousands of dollars for just $50. That day, a lot of treasures went out. They were treasure to one man, but to that wife, they were meaningless. She just wanted to get the clutter out of the way. There's a lot of toys and a lot of tools that we have in life that we treasure. But friend, when it all boils down, all these things that man reaches for status and all this, are worthless. When it comes time to sell out and say, God, I'd rather have you. I want the treasure of treasures about you today. Amen. I heard a testimony of a man that had these vehicles, collector vehicles. But when it came time for him to sell, he sold them and he gave them to the kingdom of God and said, God, this is for you. I want to tell somebody in the house of God today, it's worth selling out and saying, God, here am I. You could sell your possessions and strip down everything. But Riley, if God don't have you, what good is it? Amen. Today, does God really have you? Does he just have your interest on a Sunday? Does he have your interest just when you have a need? Or does he have your life, every step of your life, every day of your life? Amen. This night, this morning, I want you to lift your hands to the Almighty God. Don't let the enemy's tool hinder you today from being who God wants you to be. Amen. Don't let pride begin to rob you and hold you back. I'm talking to somebody's soul this morning. God weighs the spirits, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs. Amen. He weighs the spirits. Amen. This morning, amen, God wants you to put your life on the scale and let him weigh your heart. Let him weigh your life. Amen. Come on, you tried it your way. You've done things, amen, your way. You had your toys and your interests and all these different treasures of your life. But what about the treasure of God? What about the treasure? Put your life in God's hand. Come on, this is eternal. This treasure will never fade away. The guitar will break. The guitar can be stolen, but God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. God wants to take you with him forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Would somebody just open your heart? Come on, let's love the Lord. Come on, the goodness of the Lord is here today for somebody's soul. Amen. God wants somebody to turn it all to him. Amen. Oh, friend, you seem to have it together, but inside you don't. Amen. Oh, you feel like you have it all concluded. You feel like you have it all. Amen. But friend, you don't inside. Your heart is so far from God. Amen. But God is saying today, amen, oh, you may be far, but it's not too far that I can't reach. You're not too far that I can't make you a brand new vessel. I am the God of heaven, and I want you to be a part of my life and my eternity. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The goodness of the Lord is in this house today, the grace of God. Hallelujah. Used to be a song, and I think my wife probably sang it a few times. I was going down for the last time, no one heard my cry. But all of a sudden, a hand reached out of nowhere and picked me up. And I thank God he found me just in time. Amen. You know what I feel in the Holy Ghost right now? I feel that just in time hand right now reaching for somebody's soul. Come on, why be stubborn? Why let pride rule and rob you? Amen. This altar's open right now. Don't let pride keep you in your seat. Don't let that invisible pride say, God, no, 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 not today. Don't be that one that writes off the opportunity that God has given you. Be that one that says, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to give it all to you today, Jesus. Come on, you may have been in church all your life. Amen. But today you need to get back to that place where God has control. God has your heart. God has your life. And God has the reins. Amen. Of your whole being. Hallelujah. Come, let's talk to Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. God wants somebody to come to the table to him. Somebody to lay it all down to him and say, God, here am I. Hallelujah. Here I am, Jesus.
Here I stand, Lord, my is in your hands, Lord, I'm Lord.
Come on, would you pray with somebody? It's okay.
To see
I long to see you, Lord Jesus. I want to be yours, God.
Your desire.
Help me, Jesus.
Revealed in
God, I want to give. I want to give
me I
to
give
you.
Myself
Come on,
away.
Give yourself away. Come on, God's not an angry one. Come on, give yourself to the Lord today. Here am I, Jesus.
Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so
Come on, let the Master
can
let the Master tune your life. Hallelujah. Come on, give yourself to the Lord. Don't let pride hinder you anymore.
Lord, my life is in
Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus.
Hands, Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed.
Offer yourself this morning. Here am I, God. Come on, there's peace. There's joy for you today.
Lord, I place them in your hands. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Say yes. worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I can be free, so I can be whole, so I can tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life.
Would you lift your hands with us this morning? I want you to thank the Lord for Calvary. Thank the Lord for the blood. Thank the Lord for his goodness and spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We honor you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you today, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the blood. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Rachel, we're going to be praying for you. I want y'all to help me pray for Rachel. And I told her a while ago, I've known her since she was a little girl. And was there when some of her babies were born. So I want the Lord to help. I want the Lord to minister to us all. We're so thankful for the goodness and the grace of God. Don't let pride take you for a ride. Amen. Praise God. I'm thankful for the grace. Amen. We love the Lord. We're thankful for his goodness. Those of you today that I want you to be in prayer for Sister Rhonda, Brother Jerry. Yeah, hard deal tomorrow and today for them. Lift them up in prayer. Again, the funeral will be in Mansfield, visitation 10 to 12. And is Rose Neath Funeral Home there in Mansfield. And visitation 10 to 12, funeral afterwards. Also, we want to lift up in prayer. Sister Sharon's been sick as well. I forgot to mention her name while ago. She's been sick, running fever for several days. Would you help me pray for Sister Sharon right now? Lord, we trust you. We believe you, and we ask you in faith that you would just bless our sister. Grace her with healing and power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Those of you today that are going to leave and go to Brother Metland's, the way to get to his church, since there's road construction in front of on 69 or 59, when you get to, right before you get to Texas Bible College, the light there, it's College Drive. Take a left, go down to Farnham Market Road 2108. There's a convenience store on the left. Take a right on Farnham Market 2108. Follow it, and it would bring you right to the church. And you'll see it right there on the left when you get right at the end of that road. Praise God. God bless you. It begins at 1 o'clock. And remember service this evening. Amen. Come early and let's have a season of prayer. Amen. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Let's go to heaven. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.